Amen. Genesis chapter 1. We have been looking at the witness to the leading of the Spirit. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the world. Well, did I say that? God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord, or Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And we looked at the speaking of God. And we said, God's primary mode of communication is not in pictures. It's in words. Words in the form of impressions. In other words, I must know how to sense and know God's leading, how God speaks. And we also were able to study further the sin of Adam. And we said the sin of Adam by Paul was called a disobedience, a lack of refusal to eat what you hear or not to hear at all. In other words, there was something in the hearing that brought sin. That is a vital in the way you study. So your listening will go a long way in how you obey God, just like you're listening in this service. And if you've been following our studies in the book of Mark, we said the high point of the book of Mark is Mark 4:24. Remember? Can you remember that? Take heed what you hear, that you hear. In other words, there's a whole lot about hearing. If you look at the parable of the sower, other parables in Mark, let him that has and hear, remember? Let him hear. And if you look at Revelation 2 and 3, the letters to the churches, he that has and hear, let him hear. And Romans 10, 17, talking about salvation, faith, which is salvation, the gospel, is by what you hear. In Galatians 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes was Jesus Christ evidently set forth and crucified among you. He said, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. In other words, he says, your Christian life is because you heard right. You are saved because you heard right. The guy who is not saved, he refused to hear. So there's a whole lot in how you listen. How you listen. And so you must train yourself to listen. And listen well. And listening will begin with basic things, you know, like this service now, and how you take instructions. And I'll go over a bit of the things we said before, that there are subjects that you can never become an expert. You can't become an expert and then forget to study regularly the subject of the leading of the Spirit. You have to keep listening to it. In other words, when it comes to the subject of leading of the Spirit, you must act like you've never heard it before. Hear it again. Read it again. Study it again. Hear it again. Why? Because it's something you will need all the time. If somebody does a series of study for you now on the manifestation of the sons of God, is not today. It is going to happen at the end of the day age. You know, you can know that so well, but it's not something you're going to need tomorrow morning. You know, someone says, well, the old covenant, what happened in the Garden of Eden was that Adam didn't eat fruit. He didn't believe the gospel. He said, wow, it's not like you need it tomorrow morning. But the subject of healing, for example, and the subject of the leading of the Spirit, you probably need it as you are listening to the teaching. So it's one of those things that you need to hear again and again and again. If I believe so strongly that, you know, there are people that believe that they teach practical things, and they kind of think, well, some teachings are too academic, that you just just looking at scripture and context, pretext. What's the application? The application is what we're talking about. Knowing the leading of the Spirit. Years ago, I read a book by Pat Harrison, 94. Pat Harrison, was the old leader of Kurt Hagin. That brother Hagin is the other sister, the only sister of Pastor Hagin. She wrote a book then that I read it so well that the book was read, Knowing the Ways of the Holy Spirit. And I read it so often till I didn't see it again. Because I believe that's one of the subjects that a Christian, of course, a lot of information in there now. I believe by the grace of God, I've advanced beyond that, you know. But it was for me an important subject. Because you cannot take away, you can separate the Christian walk from knowing the workings of the Holy Spirit. You can. And one of the works or the deeds of the Spirit of God in our lives today is to lead us. So it's not one of those things that you master. Well, let me get that properly. I'm not saying you can't master it. I'm just saying you can't claim to have known it. You don't need to hear about it again. No. You have to listen again and again and again. And again and again. On Sunday, during the healing school, I told us about the basics. Remember? So the basics. The basics. Someone shared with me 2 days ago, I think, Monday, about a dream. I said, I can't tell you what is in the dream, but you know the basics. So go back to the basics of divine leading. The basics. The inward witness. The basic things. How do you recognize inward witnesses? The basic things that I taught you. Because not even in this church. Put the word first place. Meditate upon the word. Speak the word. Instantly obey the voice of the Spirit. So basically, it's as simple as that. Even when you are 60 years in ministry, that's what you're still going to do. The basics. Like we said on Sunday, when it comes to divine healing, the basics. Believe in your heart, say with your mouth, call the things that be not as though they are. So just about the same thing, when it comes to this subject, you need to get back to the basics, listen again, think through it again, then begin to practice it. Never wait till you want to make a decision to start learning the leading of the Spirit. If you only knew to pray and fast and all of that because you need to take a decision, then you may be too much under pressure to know what to do. Too much under pressure. So you're like, okay, I need to get this right. Because you are a product of decisions. Your decisions are so important that your decisions are why you are here today and why some are not here today. It's just their decision. And so this is a subject that you need to get back to. I believe tomorrow the series will be out for you to listen to. Listen to it again. Oftentimes, you'll be surprised at the things you thought you heard that you never heard. Well, you hear it again. Have you seen sometimes you're listening to a teaching and there's something on your mind? Then you rewind. Yes. This is what I've been thinking about. This is what I've been trying to do all along. Now I can see it. Sometimes just listen again. Because when you learn to listen to Ben, you know how to hear from God. I told you, God uses familiar voices to talk to you. Familiar voices. Some people say, well, sometimes it's like the voice of my pastor spoke to me. No, it's God who spoke to you. But because the voice of your pastor is what they're used to in listening to God's word, then that's how it's going to come out. So you need to learn how to listen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. All right, so now I'm going to delve into something this evening. Nothing too spectacular, but just something to learn from. Okay, so we said a refusal to hear is what brought sin, and Romans 5:19, through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. The word parakoye, which means a refusal to hear or not to hear at all. And so therefore, in the leading of the Spirit, there are two things that can happen. It's either I heard or I did not hear well. Now, I heard will mean I understand it, I obey it. I didn't hear well will mean either I heard it, I refused to act on it, or I didn't even hear it at all. So, there's no neutral place to this. At each point in time, it's either I'm yielding to God's Spirit, or I'm yielding to what is not God's Spirit. Man is a product of influence. Hope that's clear enough. You are a product of influence. Up to the way you dress, to the way you speak, you're a product of influence. Even how you sing. A guy once told me one time, he said, you sing like so-and-so preacher. I said, because that was my favorite singing preacher when I was younger. Interestingly, it's not somebody that listens to doctrinally. That's how impressionable we all are. You get it? We all are impressionable. So, don't deceive yourself that, no, this is me. Who are you? This is me. Who are you? Therefore, you can decide to ask, where is this coming from? If I have a direction to go, ask myself. Some people believe that when something is strong on your heart, it is God speaking to you. That is not true. Doubt can be strong on your heart. Fear can be strong on your heart. You know, the heart refers to the mind as well. Anxiety can be strong on your mind. You need to ask yourself, where is this coming from? Where is this thinking coming from? Hallelujah. And the mind can be so interesting. The mind can store an information for a long time. I'll give you an instance. Now, when I was younger, I used to play unnecessary. I mean young. So usually, when I hear Fuji songs, I won't sing them. And I'll practically look at my cousins who like them, and I walk away and feel. Do you know, I grew up to sing those songs perfectly without listening to them again. Who has had that kind of experience before? I mean, somewhere I never sang. But somewhere in my mind, the lyrics just flowed. Well, it was just there. It stored. Now imagine an information that I'm talking about 30 years ago. I've seen myself, I won't tell you when, but not too far from here. I just woke up and said, what did you just sing? It came out. Because it was there. Waiting for manifestation. And when they were playing it then, I would say, no. I don't believe in this. But it believed in me. And it stayed somewhere. Praise God. Why do you think sometimes you watch a movie that is acted and you're angry? Who has seen this movie before? Champ. You know Champ? I don't know how tough you are. You act tough, but maybe you can help me. You know, if you watch Champ 5 times, you still feel like crying. I watched it again, I think, when the guy said, "Champ, wake up, champ." I feel, oh, what's going on? It's a movie. I've even had people attack actors, real life. Why did you do that to? So what's wrong with you? Praise the Lord. Even if you see some people in real life, you think, "Ooh, wicked guy." That is how impressionable we are. Because God made it that man should live by example. That's why Adam's sin, Romans 5:14 says, became a two-post. Alright? Of that which is to come. It became a figure of that which came after. Two-post, I think the word is melos. That which came after. So there are examples. Whatever you are doing today, you picked it from an example and you become an example unto others. So you have to ask yourself, where is this coming from? Where is it coming from? Is it coming from the place of prayer? Is it coming from the place of the study of the word? Or is it coming from a movie I watched? Is it coming from something someone said or wrote? Is it coming from something I saw when I was younger? Hallelujah. So you have to ask yourself, where is this coming from? At each point in time in your life, you are being led. You are being led. So now let's just begin to break it down, because like I said, we're closing tonight. And pick it up sometime later in the year. Hallelujah. Now, look at leading of the Spirit. We've spoken about the inward witness, Romans 8:16. Verse 14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Romans 8:15 says, "We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father." 16 says, "The Spirit bears witness with our spirit." That word bears witness with is the word some material. Now, whenever you have the word son or some in the Greek, S-U-M or S-U-N, before a word, it means together with. Together with. That means he's talking about two items or two persons together who are seen together. Now, when you look at Jesus and us in the resurrection, raised together with Christ, we're found in him. Okay? Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Same word. I think the word there is sog katizo, that is son, then the word katizo, to be in the same place in each other. You have son nejil as well. I think that's Ephesians 3:13, 2:13, race together. I think that's son nejil, that is walking together. Now, where you have this is some material. That means in the new birth, all right, something happens. God's spirit is recognized with your spirit, and your spirit is recognized with God's spirit. So you are not going to find two spirits. Even though you have two individuals in one. And so Romans 8:16 says, the spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now the word bear witness with, because I tried to look at why the King James has bear with. Bear witness with. It ought to have been bear witness with the word some material. Is because that word refers to an evidence, something that is becomes obvious. Romans 9:1. My spirit bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. That means something that can be seen in the Holy Ghost. So the inward witness, we said, and I got this definition from a friend of mine. He adopted it after another series we're listening to. Sometimes in 1995. And I've never ceased to use it. That the inward witness is the witness of the human spirit that is born again. Alright. To a fact exposed to it. And that witness can be either to refute it, to accept it, or to ask you to caution you. So, in other words, If, just like prayer, if a fact is not exposed to your spirit, one of the ways we expose a fact to your spirit is either by meditation or prayer. If a fact is not exposed to your spirit, you can't have any witness over it. For example, if you're just given to asking people, do you think I should, you know, and rather than throw the question in such a way, meditation in your heart so that you can have a witness of the spirit to it. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Now, there's a place of asking people, particularly people that you can trust, that they have in their lives bore fruit of the leading of the Spirit. Now, I know people who have boasted that they were going to do things and they did it. I don't call that leading of the Spirit. The man I call the greatest player of all time, Cristiano Ronaldo, if you don't like it, walk through the door. And I say it for men. He said, wherever he became today, he said it. This is what I'm going to become. And he walked towards it. That's not being led by the Spirit of God. That's just sheer human will and human effort. A friend of mine, a classmate of mine, he was telling his story when we were having our anniversary last year. And I never heard that story before. He was my classmate. I hadn't seen him for many years. He's a professor. In fact, he's a highly reputed professor in America today in some of their, you know, specialized institutes. He said he grew up in a family where they couldn't afford more than one meal. I never knew it. But that somehow he found himself in government college in Ibadan. Then just because an old boy came up and spoke about himself, he said, I'm going to do this too. He rose to become the best student in my class, my set. In fact, he was in UI and Ibadan Poly at the same time. That is, he ran the two programs. One he did, the first one he did mechanical engineering, another one he did electrical engineering. He ran them together. He had first class and distinction, best graduate student in two. And he graduated at the same time. You laughed. If you know what he does in the U.S. today, he's way. It's just the truth. That is distinction, first class. And he graduated, that is, one competition maybe in January, the other one in February. So that's how he has growing his life. He said he just said it. That's not leading of, that's just a widow. So I know people who are like that, but I know people that what they did is because they were led by the Spirit of God. And I've seen people say, God said to me that this is going to happen. I know someone who said, I'm going to be doing so and so in this country. And we all looked at him because what he said he was going to do in that country, that the ministry he said he was going to serve with was not in that country. Well, he said so. And it looked strange. This is not Nigeria. And from records, the ministry didn't have it in their plans. But just about the time he was going to leave the university, which was years after they started that ministry there, said, I saw it. So I've seen that proof over the years. And so such people, I can counsel with them. And I know that they know how to pray, okay? And be led by the Spirit of God. Some people know how to pray when there's problems, but not pray and know how to be led by the Spirit of God. And you know, sometimes some of the best counsel you get from people, sometimes people tell me things and they want me to give them an answer immediately. And I tell them, let's talk about it later. And we wait. Then they just discover months after. This has happened In fact, I can count how many times, even this month. And then they come back and say, Pastor, I finally think, this is maybe 4 months. I said, that was what I would have told you the first day. I just wanted you to find out yourself. I didn't answer you because I wanted you to find out yourself. Praise God. So it's good to speak with people. But you see, the thing is, you must know how to be led by yourself. You must know and recognize the leading of the Spirit by yourself. There are some folks that they are just opportunistic people. Now, people can wish you well. You know, somebody can say, well, I see your ministry all over the world. That's a good wish. And I've heard that prophecy since I was born. Everybody's ministry is all over the world. There was a fellow like that. He just reached out to me. He said, I saw you and so-and-so person. You are going to preach so-and-so church. And I kind of want to tell him, I won't. The reason why he said that, he saw me and that preacher on a billboard. So he assumed that I was looking forward to preaching for that preacher. But that was the exact opposite. I actually said I didn't want to be that preacher's friend. But he didn't know it. So what he would have prophesied for himself, he gave me the word. You laugh, really? There are some prophecies like that, they're just well-wishing. Do you get it? And you must know people who know, who have in their lives proven to be led by the Spirit of God. Nobody led by the Spirit of God follows vogues. They follow good examples, godly examples, but not, you know, vogues, things in vogue. When you see a Christian carried away by what's going on in the society, she always or he always dresses what is the latest thing in town, trying to do this, trying to follow this one, be rest assured, it will be difficult to have that kind of person know what it means to be led by the Spirit. Some guys are moved by sight. They are moved by sight. If you see a classmate with a brand new car, like a demon attack them, and they don't have a good car, they look at it and say, wow. At that point, you're telling them, they're good for evangelism. Is that not evangelism, yes? There are folks like that, and that's how they are. So you don't have to be led by the Spirit of God. So there's the inward witness, which we saw in the life of Paul. Now let me mention something. It appears like all the leading of the Spirit in the Bible, precisely the epistles, is a long ministry. Now people have asked me, what about other non-ministry related issues? Like what? For example, you have marriage is non-ministry related. Eventually it will relate to ministry because it's good to have the person that is your marital partner, that is your wife or husband, involved in the work of ministry. It's not compulsory, but it's just good. You have a choice. But you see, what about that? What about in my business? What about other things I do? You get my point. What about that? I say, well, the example we have is the pattern we are going to follow. That is, even when it bothers around other issues that looks non-ministry related, you have to follow the same way. You know that God leads people generally, that's the way He does it. So, the inward witness, which we find in Paul, we've read the different accounts, Acts 14, Acts 16, Acts 17, Acts 18, and Acts 20, precisely Acts 20, 22. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will befall me. Acts 20, 22. I go bound, that is to be compelled in your spirit. In other words, you seem to, Paul knew what they were going to do to him in his spirit. That is, he knew it in his spirit. Acts 20:22. That's the first thing. The second thing is, he's compelled. So the compulsion wasn't even from those who were around him, because those around him asked him not to go. But he had this compelling force within his spirit to go in so and so direction. That impression in his spirit. And sometimes, even in the work of ministry, I mean, let me just mention this. I remember I was going somewhere to check on some brethren. And then I was just led go to that uncompleted building. And I'm thinking, uncompleted building, none of the brethren stays there. So I decided to go. And I went there. In fact, it was not far from a CAC church like that. So, but as I got there, I saw a fellow who was just about to take his life. Now, I didn't have that impression when I was going. I just said, go there, that's all. And I go there to do what? You know? And you just go. You're just compelled to go. Just like you can wake up in the night or very early in the morning, 2, 3 a.m., and you're compelled to pray. So they're just compelled to play this teaching, please. Compelled. They're just compelled in your spirit. That is the way you come up. Let me show you what I mean. Just like someone practically holding you like this. And you sense it in your heart. And you know you're not the one making it up. You know, if it's your will, you are saying, you stare yourself, you come on, tomorrow. But it's just like a feeling of something, let's go. And then what's it about? Sometimes, how do you say, your head has no particular calculation. I just sense this is what I should do. Amen. So that's how the hero witness works. So we have that. Then we also have utterances, where things are spoken via tongues and interpretation. Acts 13, for example, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, which is via utterances. Acts 20:22-23. Save with the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city that bonds and afflictions await me. So the inward witness is the Holy Ghost. Utterances, either given by yourself or by others, is equally the Holy Ghost. I had never thought I could be found teaching scriptures. I tried to do it one time, but I didn't exactly proceed further. So I used to feel that I was just going to preach. And I used to like just preaching. And then just like we say, preaching in that instance means to just announce and shout and all of that. So I went for a meeting. And as the man was teaching on the teaching gift, I was writing the information for other people. Now, all right, those who can teach, this is what they are going to be doing. So I put the notes down. So he called people out to, if you believe your God has called you to be a teacher, come out. I didn't get out. Why? Because I was not one. So he stopped. I wore a black silk shirt. He said, hey, you. And people had to tap me because I'd learned a few months before to always close my eyes. So people were like, hey, you. So he tapped me and I came up. They began to prophesy. That's an utterance. And so I couldn't figure it out immediately until later on, just a week or two after. So there are things like that that can happen via utterances. Acts 13:2. first. Acts 21. Yeah. When Paul amongst the disciples. Acts 21, verse 4 and verse 5. Paul with the daughters of Philip, verse 8 and 9. Paul and Agabus, verse 11. Acts 21, yeah, I said verse 4 and 5, verse 8 and 9, three different instances, then verse 11. So you can have all translations. So we see 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18, 2 Timothy 1:6. Okay, no, remove 2 Timothy 1:6. 1 Timothy 1:18, 1 Timothy 4:14. So utterances. That is inspired speaking. And in all those instances, please listen to what I'm about to say, they are reputable people. Don't be picking prophecies across the road. So I say, Auntie. brother. And then you begin to let someone kind of confuse you. No. Whenever utterances are given, there's a name to it. They always have reputation. Acts 13:2, they have reputation. Acts 20:23, reputation. Those who prophesy and give such utterances. Acts 21:4, reputation, their reputation. Acts 21:9, their reputation. Acts 21:11. 1 Timothy 4:14 and 1 Timothy 1:18, definitely. So you have reputation. This is reputation. Not people just from nowhere and then they see you on the road. I've seen people that are Christocentric listen to all manner. Someone says, And see, as you were coming there, the Spirit just ministered to me. And then they begin to say all sorts of things. And the moment, oftentimes the way it works, the moment you give in to the first statement, it just flows. So what I do often, I say, shut up. Though that's been years. I don't know what you are going to drink. And approach me with nonsense. Maybe inbox. But I have no control about what you are going to send. You get it? So you have to reputable people. And in the local assembly, for example, yes. So utterances are also the inner spirit. Visions. Visions will be to see something, sometimes in the dream, sometimes when you are fully awake. Now, all of these are in our book, Leading of the Spirit, and in many of our teachings. I'm just going over it for you, or for us. Acts 5, Peter, when he was in jail, the angel came, opened the, and said, go and speak to these people, Acts 5:20. Acts 9, verse 10, 11, 12, through to 15 and 16, where Ananias saw the Lord Jesus and he gave him direction concerning Saul of Tarsus. Acts 10, Peter had also a vision, which looked like a dream, but not a trance. From verse 10, he was praying, from verse 9, and he fell into a trance, through to verse 17, then 18 and 19. So, you have the Spirit of God, walk through that. But primarily, the inward witness, then we said, you have the utterances, then you also have visions, where you will see, literally, things, and there will be a direction in it. So, the inward witness, utterances, visions, are all vehicles of how God relates with us when it comes to specific things, about our lives and our ministries. Amen. Okay. Some things as simple as you want to pick your children's school. You think, no, let me just sit there and let's look at, you know, as much as you, I've always told you, always see that the natural and the supernatural are not enemies. What I mean is, you have sought for the school, it looks good. I mean, you check the basic things. What are the records before now? You know, don't say it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What are the kind of records they have? You know, what's the kind of faculty they have in the school? You know, stuff like that. You do all that. Then, as you have done that, you begin to pray. You know, just, you know, Proverbs chapter 3 says, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart. All right? Lean not unto your own understanding. Right? Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will direct your paths. You know that song? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct, and He shall direct your path. That word direct your path in verse 6 is the word from the Greek in 2 Timothy 2:15. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That is, carefully He will maneuver you through difficult times in life. So even as you've done that, even the choice of your career, you've gotten the letter. You have 3 or 4 options. And so I always tell people, whenever you want to apply for a job, except where you have a clear-cut instruction, try and have many options so that you can have a choice. So why do I say that? So that you can actually pray. And sometimes you, as you're praying, say, well, your heart's not going towards like the juiciest one, like to this one. You can pray about that. And so don't let it be all, you know, brain work. No, the brain ought to walk with the spirit. The brain has the facts, proper facts. The spirit has the direction. And so the inward witness walks that way. So you don't say, oh, just a natural decision. No, it's not. Not just that. You could, you know, for decisions that would, because the school, your school, for example, I'll say this. I believe that I went to my secondary school supernaturally. And I'm so convinced. I'm very convinced about it. I believe, like I said to you last week, that God's Spirit has a way of causing people to pray for you. Just like we do. You know, there was a day like that. I went to a cousin's place at Mokolai Badan, the estate, the GRA part. And my uncle then was a secretary to the state government. So he lived in quite an exquisite house. I mean, back then, they had a swimming pool. So I liked the swimming pool. Of course, everybody should. Very big compound. They had, you know, pond. They had sorts of stuff. Like some sort of mini game reserve. You know, and I wanted to swim. They told us no, the teacher was coming on a Monday. They told us that on the weekend. I just felt, what's the big deal about swimming? She's not to just jump and be doing your hand like this. So on my own, I didn't tell anybody, I didn't discuss with anybody, it was not a gist I shared with any of my cousins. And no, I was with Tunde Adeyemi in Birmingham now. He's a medical doctor there. And I just went on my own. And the way the house was, the swimming pool was a bit far from the quarters where everybody stayed, where we stayed. I just went there on my own. There was no lifeguard. There was nothing. I just went there on my own. So I got to the shallow end. I was liking the movement. So somehow, you know, if first of all I ascended, they said, okay, descended. So I had to descend. And with no prior experience, the the best of the experiences I had was at the Ikoyi Club, where we're just, it wasn't swimming. So I just went down. And I said, Abu? Abu? That's not, for me. And I began to imagine, okay, I'm dead. So I closed my eyes. And I said, I'm not dead. Then my cousin, Tunde Adeomi, said, he's not even a Christian. You know, he's married to one. He just walked towards the place. He said, he just didn't know. He just had something push him, go to the swimming pool side. He said he got there and he just saw movement on the water. He didn't know what it was. And somehow supernaturally, I was moved to the side. So he just said, what's this? Go on, boys. And he became a human being. But how he was able to pull me out again is supernatural. He pulled me out. Then, of course, much of cartoon, he was pushing my belly for water to come out. But you know, that is providence. He didn't know. I didn't tell anybody. So, sure, along the line, someone somewhere maybe was praying for a church that would become Saints Community Church in the spirit. He picked that up, maybe woke up at 12 midnight and began to pray. Maybe in a believer's meeting. And then he prayed. I don't know who the person is. You may never know to the very end. Because I am too sure that thing just happened. I'm too sure about it. There are many things that will happen, and it's because someone refused to pray. Or someone refused to be led. That's a fact. And so, like I said, even natural things, taking a job, have options so that you can pray. Have options. Pray about it. You want to move to a new place? And you got Goshen. Goshen in Lagos. And so they say, you're going to live in that kind of place. Yeah! But have you prayed about it? Why should I pray? It's Goshen. No, pray about it. Amen. And in the place of prayer, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, watch what is in your spirit when you talk about that location. What is in your spirit when you talk about it? So those are very basic elements of that. Amen. Are you there? Okay, Matthew's Gospel 18. We're sure going to pick up from here sometime in the year. You know, today everybody's open to information. They need 20,000 people in this country. They need 15,000 tech people. They need 20,000 doctors, 3,000 lawyers. They need 20, you know, and you say, yes! You go pray about it. It's important. Because we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 18. Now, we've ran through this before. Let me just go to the key issue. Verse 16. If he will not hear you, take with you one or two more. For in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what? Established. Which means that in establishing God's will in a matter, you should be patient. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And that word is the word histemi, H-I-S-T-E-M-I. It means to weigh it properly so that it can stand. What it means is, you know how, have you watched, the last one I watched was African Idol or something. Is it basically African Idol? I think there's another one. There's an American Idol or something where people sing. The other times you have three Judges, right? Okay, so one may say, I'll give you a yes. Wow! The other says, where are you proof? The third one says, I'll stand with him. You go, yeah! You move to the next level. What they've done is the mouth of two or three to weigh what this said with this and with the other. In other words, you need to be able to confirm what you sense. Confirm it. To confirm what you sense in your spirit. Which is why you and I must apply patience. You see, God will not lead you outside the fruit of the Spirit. And I've always said this to friends, associates, colleagues. Whatever will put you under pressure can't be God's Spirit. That's a fact. Can't be God's Spirit. So, look at Paul. I mean, everybody knows the importance of Paul. Acts 9, we saw the trajectory. The Lord appeared to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, on the road, and there were those guys around him. Then he appeared to Ananias, verse 11, 12, through to 15, 16. Then Acts 9, Barnabas came to confirm him. Acts 11, same thing. Acts 13, 2, in the church at Antioch. Acts 21. Once again. Acts 16. So, you and I need to establish things clearly. And I'm telling you, in ministry, as important as I know the inward witness, I ensure I pass this test. I know the inward witness. I know exactly how it works. I feed on the word of God every time to understand it better. But I always try to say, okay, let me be patient so I'm sure of what I heard exactly. You know why? Because many times my thoughts can overshadow it, my will, my emotions, and a couple of other things. So establishing things is very biblical. It's done for doctrine. We saw it. It's done for proof of things, 2 Corinthians 13:1. It's done when you want to judge an elder, 1 Timothy 5:19. It's done for inspirational gifts, talking about the utterance gift, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Two or three, there the other jaw. Let it be by two, at most by three. Matthew 18, 17, 16. John 8:17. You need to learn to do that. In 1 Samuel, chapter 10, I believe, yeah. Samuel says to Saul, yeah, I have anointed you, but you will go to the heel of the prophets. 1 Samuel, chapter 10. You'll find people that prophesy. But why would they have to do that? Find those who prophesy. And then he says, the Spirit of God, verse 6, 1 Samuel 10, will come on you. In Numbers, Moses used the company protocol, Numbers 11. So you come together in the tabernacle, Numbers 11. Numbers 11, 16, and then verse 24 and 25. The place of company. In other words, God confirms his leadings in the company of believers. Reputable people who are able to confirm, judge it, weigh it. You cannot be led by God alone. What I mean by that, I mean God calls us into a company. The body of Christ, the local assembly, company of believers, etc., etc. And I must learn that. In 1 Corinthians 6 last week, we saw how he said, if you have a matter before your with your brother, go to the church. If the church will judge angels and the world, how about this small matter? That means we can put this to test. What we want to do, we don't want to do amongst believers. Amen. Reputable people who we know to understand God's word and then the leading of His Spirit. In Acts 16 and verse 10, we saw that last week. Remember the first time they said the Spirit of God? Verse 6, the Holy Ghost did not allow them preach in Asia. Verse 7, He suffered them not to go ahead to Bithynia. But verse 9, there was a vision. And then verse 10, we are shortly gathering some babayazo to put things together. In other words, when it comes to the leading of the Spirit, there is a timing that makes you understand it well. People who are hasty, who are forward, and who are stubborn may often miss what God is saying. Hasty, forward, stubborn. I stood there and I cautioned you on speaking before you hear. Hear it again. No, there's no wrong in, even when you're clear, to pray. In Acts 13, they knew what God was saying, they still went to pray. They prayed afterwards. Jesus is going to the cross, he still prays. Some of us say, oh, I know that. The next thing you put it on Facebook. Pam, 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 pam. Whatever would inspire you to pray can be God's will. It must get you to pray again. So you need to be patient and be sure. Because you can carry out the right thing at the wrong time and it will all be wrong. You can do the right thing at the wrong time, it will be wrong. Or the right thing the wrong way, it will be wrong. Sometimes some of us think, I didn't hear from God. You did, but you didn't get it clearly. So you moved quickly, and then you did the right thing the wrong way, and it's also disobedience eventually. It's good to be patient. And be patient. Things as basic as marriage, where to stay, where to leave, country to relocate to, other things you rush. It's better to be a little bit slower than God than to be fast. I know we're in a very fast age. People are quick to say, he became a millionaire at 20. He did this at before he was 25. Before he was 30, he had done this. Then you say, well, I'm going to do this. And the human will is very powerful. If the human will can disobey God, the human will can do anything. Can be strong-willed, and that's all to it. So some bios requires patience. It requires for you to put things together and put it properly. A good company is important. 1 Timothy 1:18, prophecies have gone before you. 1 Timothy 4:14, by the elders. 2 Timothy 1:6, I laid my hands on you. Right company. Right company assists you in witnessing to the leading of the Spirit. The right company. I was going to go to a particular university and a friend of mine just said, do you want to come here because we are all here? And I never thought that way, because I used to be around them. We used to study together. I said, no. He said, don't walk in the flesh. We don't all have to be here. He said it so casually, I knew he was not talking casually. That day I made up my mind to go to another school. And I'm so grateful that I did. My mom, I left for university and wanted to go to University of Ife then, OAU. So I was on my way. I got there. And I was to meet a professor who was the dean, Professor Retui. And I just got there and the man just became hostile. He's my mom's best friend's dad, who was the one who said, no, come to me. Very, very hostile. In fact, that day he was having a bout with the man, Professor Esemokai. They were arguing. So as he saw me, I said, I'm so sorry. He said, no, it's closed. What did I do here? You know, as I left his presence, somehow I just sensed that was the right thing. It was like I heard from God. So, I just walked past him. In fact, I was so delighted I got into a bus going to Ibadan. I saw a lady minister to her by the word of knowledge. We got to Ibadan and all of that. So, months later, I think a week or two later, the man asked my mom, where is your son? He didn't come. My mom looked at me and said, he's right. Obviously, God did something on that scene that changed the school I should have attended. Yeah. And I'm glad I did. I knew that was what happened. So, some of those things, you should be able to recognize them. But you know what? If I had pushed for it, I'd have gotten it. If I told my friend, see, watch me. This is where I will go. Bet it. And I'll get it done. You see, let me say something to you. As a believer, don't prove a point to anybody. It's a wasted venture. Don't prove a point. Some people that you are proving a point to may die before your point is proved. Some, after proving, they say, prove another one. Obey God. Hallelujah. Can I pray before businesses I do? Sure, you should. But you venture into it. It doesn't mean that you'll be on Forbes' list. It just means that what you're doing will work in tandem with what God wants you to do. That's what it means. So, you know, you should, on those basic things. Very basic. So the right company will help us. The right kind of people. Friends that can say, Tayo, have you prayed about this? Or, Shegun, I think you should just wait on the Lord a bit. What do you mean? You don't want my prosperity or my sources? No. You don't have people like that. Hallelujah. A good company, the local church is where that can easily happen. Because on the lips of the local church pastor is the voice of God. As his teaching, the illustrations, the examples, the correction, even basic things like workers' meetings. You pick up important things and you know what to do. Don't despise meetings. Don't do it. Don't despise the fellowship of believers. I said it to you last week that there's a whole lot that happens among believers. This is the pillar and ground of truth. Hebrews 10. Are you in church? I'll close today with something. I'm not yet there, but that as I was praying for this meeting, I was led to sing a song and then to share something. Then we pray. Is that clear? Hebrews 10. 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoke unto love and good works. 25. Let's take 25 together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, so much more as you see. But exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. Don't make it an attitude to abandon fellowship of saints. At no time in your life, hear what I'm about to say, should you be so comfortable with receiving counsel from the unsaved. I was saying something to someone today. You must have relationship with the unsaved. If you are not friends with sinners, how are you shining your light? But have controlled friendships. Controlled relationships. You ought to have friends. Bola is coming. You can't see this when he's there. Now what is it? Maybe you and me? You and I? No. You and me? No. You should have controlled relationships. Alright, so you mustn't ever get comfortable with such company. We saw that Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. So look at what the local church will offer you. God's general will in marriage, re-emphasize 1 Corinthians 7:39, marrying the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7, you can choose not to marry. You know, not like, some churches say you have settled down. Where were you settled up before? No, that's, and that guy is doing well now. You know, those terminologies are worldly. We don't say that in the church. Is that clear? God's will in marriage, kids. General things. God's will about being an employee, an employer of labor, your nation, and other issues. So the local church will teach you that generally. And the general, the specific will of God for you cannot contradict the general one. You can't claim today that, well, I know that this guy is a kanker, but he loves Jesus. No, you both love a kanker. You don't say that. You don't say that. You don't get to your workplace and become a snitch to other colleagues so that you go to your boss, sir, I want to report to you. Sir, please don't let them know you. I told you. That's not scriptural. You don't charge $45,000 in the bill when it's $43,000. That's wrong. If you read Ephesians chapter 6, Colossians chapter 3, 1 Timothy 6, all of that is there. Yes, that's God's will. Parable of the faithful servant, all of that already shows you God's will cannot be found when you cheat your employer or you cheat your employee. That's general will of God. You see that, that's written. You cannot have an inward witness that disagrees with the written word. That can't be God's spirit. So the local church allows you, when you are still thinking, do I sense this? And then your pastor gets up and then teaches a subject, use an illustration that addresses that issue. And you feel, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So someone is sharing with you in your fellowship, or just an off the cuff discussion, and that is addressed. So the company of believers is that two or three witness. And every word be weighed in the balances. Two or three. So take the assemblies of the saints very seriously. God is going to cause people to pray for you and also pray with you. And I sense that from now henceforth, we'll have us be free to say, Brother, I just want you to pray with me about this. Just been sensing to do this. Trying to change my job. Trying to do this. Let's just agree with me in faith. Let's just pray that I walk in the will of God. Is that the church? Let's just have that practice of being there to help ourselves not hear wrongly. So let me close on this. And I want to also talk to us about timing. You see, God also leads us with His own time. Jesus came at that time. He went to the cross at that time. Paul couldn't go to Asia, but there was a time he could go to Asia. So there is a time. And you must learn that. There is a time. Jesus knew the time. I call timing maturity of purpose. Where a purpose of something has matured, then it's time to do it. And I sense as we end this series today, to pick it up later in the year, that many of us need to learn timing. If you do the right thing at the wrong time, you'll get the wrong results. I told a fellow minister, I said sometimes, you probably started at the wrong place at the wrong time. You felt you weren't called by God because things went the way they went. Not necessarily. Maybe you just moved too quickly. So there's the part of observing time. And I've seen people be too quick to conclude, and they moved and did the right thing at the wrong time. So I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ in this church, this community church, is building us in patience, honesty, and devotion to pray for one another, to pray with one another, and to watch over one another. It's not every time God cautions people, alright? The time God leads people. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Do it. But there are also times He cautions you. Not now. And so learn all of that. And you need to learn to be focused. Let me say something. If I were in that audience, that is, I'm not here. If someone should move, see how this guy went to the keyboard, I won't look at him. I know the importance of looking at him and not looking here. I know the importance. I know what it means to be listening to you. I can't listen to you anymore. And that's how I've been. Learn to be focused. I just have to say that. There is a timing that you mustn't get wrong. What do I mean? This must happen. This must happen. Then it's time. Don't jump the queue. When you see your mates doing something, thank God for them. Be grateful. You know, speed kills. Some of you get on the road, and then the guy, he has a Peugeot 504. And he's going ahead of you. And you have a Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon 2020 model. Say, ah! Ah! Do you know where he's going to? Did you leave home together? You don't do that. He makes all things beautiful in His time. There are times you are grateful that you didn't make a lot of money until a particular time. There are times you are grateful. There are times you look back and you are grateful for the kind of experiences that you had. Learn that God also has His own time. We also have ours when we set targets, deadlines, and all of that. By 2020, end of 2020, I must not. And you know, because our words give direction to our lives. By 2020, I must ensure that I leave this country. At least let me travel. By 2020, I must be married. Have 3 children. It's possible. By 2020, I must start my own ministry. Because words give direction. Angels yield towards, demons yield towards, men yield towards. Circumstances will arrange themselves for you. And there you go. Rather than make deadlines, just pray, Lord, well, this is another year of my life. I'm just trusting you to lead me. As I open my business to another place, I just trust you that I won't get involved in something that will take my path away. I just trust you that where I have to take a step to mislead me, I'll sense it before I do it. Even though it's a good opportunity to make me a lot of money, but I know you do all things beautiful in your time. I will listen. Amen. And that is what I want us to pray for. I want us to pray for ourselves this evening to be patient. Be patient. See, don't run anyone's race with them. Don't do it. Don't do it. Follow good examples. For he has this, I must have it. It's the beginning of disobedience. He has done it, I must do it. No. He makes all things beautiful in his time. Lord, you show me every day as you teach me in your way that you do just what you say in your time. Before we pray, let me show you something. Why didn't Jesus go to the cross as soon as he left John the Baptist? That means there was something we ought to learn in the things that happened to him. Some of them were not nice things. See, never disregard the process. You are going to learn a lot of things by obeying God than you following your desire. Why do you think all that was there? Hebrews 5 tells us that we learn obedience by the things that he suffered. Within men's persecution, scripture was being fulfilled. But he was obeying. You are not of this world. So don't hate the process of your growth. There's nobody who grows without experiences. You don't just grow with knowledge. You grow with experiences. Why are you called an adult, an elder? Because you have experiences. Godly experiences. Experiences by the Spirit of God. Lord, you